All right, so... so our third reader, our third and final reader will be Monty Reed, and he, of course, needs no introduction. I'll give one anyway, but he doesn't need one. I'm not going to list his bibliography or his catalog of awards and nominations. I will say that his book, A Poem That Ends With Murder, was the second... he let me publish it 2 years ago. It was the second manuscript that was given my way for this ongoing project, and I continue to be grateful for that initial and continued trust. Slight Conditions, the new book today, I think is Monty at his best. It's serial. He gets to sort of gradually move through these questions, but each poem is tight and concise and so focused. That balance between concision and expansion seems to have always been a central tension in his work, in my opinion. And I think Slight Conditions walks that line deftly in 20 brief poems. Monty Reed.
Thank you, Cameron, and thanks to Raw Sugar Cafe and all of you for coming out on what's a pretty messy afternoon. I certainly appreciate it. I'm going to read some poems from Slight Condition, and Cameron, I have to apologize. I'm going to read them from my manuscript rather than from the book, which is lovely as usual. I have to say it's a gorgeous production, and I actually can't ever pick them up without thinking that Cameron or Jan or somebody actually stitched them all by hand. It's really kind of neat. It's kind of cool. However, all my notes are on here. So, so I'm going to read from that. Sight Conditions is about, or at least grows out of, the major renovation at the Canadian Museum of Nature, which has just recently been completed. I worked there for many years and was pretty involved with that process, that whole project, which I came to Ottawa in 99 and I started working on it then. And so it's been over a decade. Now, that hasn't all been construction, but that's been planning and developing designs and then implementing. So it's a long project and a hugely expensive project. And the result is, I think, pretty good. Although I have to say it's not quite completed yet. There's still lots to do. It was a ponderous project. It's huge. Some of the architects, and this is typical, I have to say, some of the architects said they were going to show up today, and of course they didn't. I did have the opportunity to go down underneath the building and see the really old footings that were put in place there back in 1895 and even earlier in some cases in some parts of the building, and they're just immense, and the whole project, it's just felt huge. There's a tonnage of rock that you're dealing with, and I wanted to write about it because it was an interesting process, but I couldn't come to grips with the sheer size of it. And so instead, the poems are these tiny little miniatures. They're, you know, most of them are four short lines. And so if I just read them to you, and that's partly why I'm talking to you at more length than usual, if I just read them to you, we'd be through this manuscript in about 3 minutes. So I'm going to read a couple of them, and I won't read them all, but I'll bounce around a little bit. One of the things that you saw first, and we got used to working at the museum, but people noticed first was this huge crane that was set on top of the building and was there for something like 3.5 years. This is called Crane. Deus ex machina. A claw comes out of the sky.
That's all it amounts to.
And that's what it felt like. It felt like all the time that you were there, there was this, like the sword of Damocles, or if nothing else, a claw that was sort of hovering over you for four years. One day we poured 56 truckloads of cement into the foundations of the building, because one of the reasons for the renovation was to make it earthquake-proof, because we are in an earthquake zone here. And the building had been cited by health and safety and by all our legal counsel that it either had to be fixed or it had to be closed because it was too dangerous. It didn't have the required strength for even a modest earthquake. So there was a whole pile of steel and a whole pile of cement that went in. And I remember sitting there that day and watching the cement trucks line up outside just to pour. This is called cement truck. In the origins of cement, there is always a truck. It waits at the curb, turning on its axis. Sometimes it's full, the story goes, and sometimes it's empty. And after that, it's cement all the way down. I'd been thinking about, as I was writing this, I was thinking about the traditions that see the world sitting on a turtle, sitting on something, sitting on the backs of four elephants. And there are some famous commentaries. Wittgenstein made one of them himself. Because what's underneath the elephants? And his response was, well, it's elephants all the way down. For us, it was cement trucks. One of the things we saw lots of in the building were bobcats, those little machines that run around, and the controls are sort of like helicopters, right? You've got to use your feet and your hands at the same time, and they're going all over the place. And although you can rarely see the operator, he's sitting there in that cage. It's called Bobcat. It keeps its brain in a cage for safety reasons. Even so, its mouth is always the first thing there. Glove. One glove is lost. The other one says, hold on to me. Hold on to me. It knows. There was, in addition to a lot of steel and a lot of cement, there was a lot of pipe that went into the building because all of the systems had to be redone, the plumbing, the HVAC, the heating, the vent, air conditioning, and the electrical. And there were just miles and miles of pipe that got put into the building. If all the pipe in the world was laid end to end, it would reach to where? Mars? That's what pipes dream of. Lying there in a pile. Mars and plumbers. Chop saw. And this is this is about my own carpentry experiences as much as it is about the guys who are working at the museum. Measure twice and cut once is what they say. Just cut, I say. Just cut. I did become friends with a number of the architects that worked on the building. But I have to say that we had our moments throughout the project. And dealing with architects is not always the easiest thing in the world to do, especially if you're a client and have to make sure that the design that is being built on actually suits your needs and not just a grand architectural vision. Architect. The architects are on site with their hard hats and their Blackberries. This was supposed to be a bridge, they say. This was supposed to be a temple. This was supposed to be obvious. And now it's not. ladder. Whatever takes you up also carries you down. And you will have to go whichever way you fear the most. Drywall. You can see we're getting towards the end of the project. For sort of this finishing stuff is showing up. It's not steel and cement anymore. It's some of the finishes. Drywall. If it is all surface, then there's nothing behind it. I never lied to you, it whispers, to all the disappointed nails. Flatbed. No. I want the enormous truck. I mean the really big truck. The big one, for Christ's sakes. Trouble light. They kept the light in the little cage all afternoon. No wonder it's gone. And the last one in the sequence, breath. And again, this is about, well, not just the museum's experience with painting, but many people's. They're painting now. That means they're almost done. You missed a corner over there. Thank you very much, and thank you, Karen.